My guest at this time is Bradley Smith. He is chairman of the Center for Competitive Politics, and he's the former chairman of the Federal Elections Commission. The Center for Competitive Politics has issued comments in response to proposed rule changes that would allow the IRS to enact greater scrutiny in deciding who is granted tax-exempt status. Supporters say it's important to make sure that those applying for that status are actually doing the work that they claim they're doing. Those who are critical of the rule changes say this is getting close to codifying the type of harassment, as they see it, that some conservative organizations got from the IRS. And Mr. Smith, thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Greg.
It might be a little hard to summarize, but what's the crux of what the IRS wants to do here?
Well, essentially, the IRS wants to change and vastly expand the definition of what qualifies as political activity to include things like nonpartisan voter registration, talk about issues, C4 limits groups that are engaged in candidate races. They want to include it to include talk about, you know, the budget or, offshore oil drilling or green energy or whatever it might be. And by expanding greatly the definition of political activity, that will bring a number of groups clearly out of C4 and into political committee status, where they have much more reporting burdens and they have to publicly disclose who their donors are, which the Supreme Court has normally said groups don't have to do. And so that's what's really at stake here. What are all these C4 groups going to be qualified as? And that includes groups from the Sierra Club and Common Cause through to the Rifle Association, but it also includes many, many small groups, and a lot of folks in the Tea Party and other small groups like that feel that what the IRS has done is they said, well, what were these groups? What were we trying to get them for a year ago or 2 years ago? Let's just codify that, and we can do it that way.
As I mentioned, your organization provided comments in reaction to the proposed rule changes. One statement that you have here says, as a threshold matter, CCP, Center for Competitive Politics, questions whether the IRS should be engaged in the minutia of regulating political or politically related speech at all. And then you kind of talk about there how it's a determination of whether you're registered as a 527 or as a 501 C4. One of the big issues here, though, is whether an organization is providing social welfare. So it sounds like what they're trying to do is change the definition of social welfare by providing dialogue about key issues of the day and turning that into political activity, correct?
Right. I mean, it's very strange. The statute says C4 organizations, which do not pay taxes themselves, but you don't get a tax deduction for giving to them, have to do social welfare work. The statute does not define social welfare work. The IRS itself, many years ago, defined social welfare work as not including political activity, that is, partisan campaign activity. But they then went on and said, but you can still do some of that and be considered a social welfare group. So it's got this kind of complex definition. But that's the bottom line, is that, can these groups do political activity? And the answer is, when you cut through all the regs, for 50-plus years, the IRS has allowed these groups to do up to 50% of their activity doing actual campaign activity. But more than that, what they exist to do, and most of their work, will be other activity that is politically related, but it's not campaign activity. Again, it's like nonpartisan get-out-the-vote drives or speaking about issues, trying to educate the public, that sort of thing.
We're talking with Bradley Smith. He is the former chairman of the Federal Elections Commission. He is also the current chairman of the Center for Competitive Politics. And in the comments from your organization, sir, there seem to be two major issues that you believe could be the negative result of these rule changes. Number one, protecting issue speech from chill, which we've obviously been talking about here. How would the IRS or any other government entity actually crack down? Is it simply in forcing organizations to divulge and allowing others not to take tax-exempt contributions, or would they actually somehow crack down on what type of information they can disseminate?
Well, it would appear, I mean, if a group were to be, if all of this broader information were considered political activity, then many of these groups would have to re-register as political committees. And again, that increases their reporting burdens, which is both an administrative burden, and many people won't give. They do prefer anonymity for privacy reasons and all kinds of reasons. And it should be pointed out that the Supreme Court has held, in a case called Buckley v. Valeo, that unless a group is specifically formed for the purpose of electing candidates, the government cannot require that group to disclose its members. The view is that people can be harassed, they can be bullied, and that people just have a privacy right again against that. And so I think that what we're trying to do here is use the tax code to get around that longstanding ruling of Buckley v. Valeo, that unless a group exists for the purpose of electing candidates, well, the government has no business prying into who their members are and trying to put put this out there for the public where they, again, might be harassed or threatened or vandalized or whatever.
Mr. Smith, one of the things that was obviously one of the great complaints about what the IRS did in the early years of the Tea Party, and some allege it's still going on, is that there was not equal type of evaluation. In other words, conservative groups got a lot more harassment, extra scrutiny, years and years of delay compared to liberal groups. So even if this were applied, and I'm guessing you'd be opposed to that, even if it was equal enforcement across the board, do you think it would be equally enforced?
Well, I think, let's put it this way. The IRS has had a very, very loose standard in the past. And I think to the extent that they want to create more clear rules, that's a good impulse. And they've said that that's what they're trying to do. The problem is that it looks a lot like they're trying to get the same groups that they were trying to get before under the vague rules. And so, I do think you would have a problem. In other words, it's not that hard to say, different groups do different types of things. It's not that hard to say, what kind of groups do we want to get? Let's write the rules to get those groups. And a lot of people think that's what's going on here.
The next one is protecting the freedom to associate. And I guess a lot of the same arguments could follow along with the legal classification of an organization. But in terms of bringing people together, we've seen the impact that large rallies have had, whether it's in small communities or gatherings here in Washington, D.C. If, in fact, that becomes harder to do, what's the impact on our system?
Well, again, you'd have less organizational speech on issues. It would be harder for groups, and again, all kinds of groups we're familiar with across the political spectrum, to talk to their own members and to talk to the general public about issues that are important, whether environmental issues or gun control issues or right to life or pro-choice issues, whatever it might be. And I think one of the things that I want to keep coming back to here is that the IRS is not equipped to do this. The IRS, as you mentioned earlier, doesn't need to be making these political determinations. We have a Federal Election Commission, which is structured in a way to guarantee a level of bipartisanship. It's independent of the president's party. And that organization exists precisely to say who qualifies as a political committee that is subject to this extra regulation and who does not. And the IRS really ought to simply follow the FEC rules to the extent it's relevant at all to the tax code. We don't want the IRS in the process of figuring out people's tax burden based on their political activity. I think that's the kind of thing that is a definite prospect for abuse, and it will chill people, and it will chill groups from having the kind of rallies that you mentioned and engaging in other types of political activity.
What has the FEC had to say, if anything, about these proposed rule changes, and what role could they possibly have in deciding whether or not, if they go through, what becomes of them and what becomes of people who potentially violate them?
Well, the FEC, of course, can't tell the IRS what to do. But Congress, when it created the FEC in 1974, gave the FEC exclusive jurisdiction over campaign finance matters. And what the IRS is doing is kind of setting up a parallel system of campaign finance regulation. And the issue here comes, a lot of people want this added regulation. They tried to get it through the FEC. The FEC is created so that neither party has a majority. You can only pass something with bipartisan support. All the Democrats wanted this regulation. All of the Republicans didn't. A lot of people, again, feel that this is aimed at conservative and Republican-leaning organizations. And so it couldn't go through the FEC. That's why they've gone to the IRS, and that's exactly why we shouldn't go to the IRS, because in the IRS, whether they're doing it because of this or not, it looks that way to people. It looks like a partisan power grab by Democrats to harm their Republican rivals, and that's, again, exactly why the FEC was set up, why it is structured as it is with a bipartisan panel. And so, again, I think the IRS is going into an area where we really don't want our tax collectors to go. We know there's a history. One of the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon was that he was using the IRS to harass his political enemies, and it's very important that we keep the IRS out of politics.
You mentioned a couple times now that a lot of people think that this is what the IRS is trying to do. They have an agenda of sorts against conservative organizations. What's your personal view on that? Is this a political agenda here, or is this just a natural liberal bent for greater government control?
Well, I think there's some of both, and I do think there's an honest effort by some at the IRS to think we want to clear up confusion. But if you look at the record, for the last 4 years, really, there's been a steady stream of letters and complaints by high-ranking Democratic office holders in Congress. Senator Levin, Senator Durbin, Senator Franken, Senator Bennett, we can name a whole number, who have been pushing the IRS to crack down on various groups, to investigate them, to investigate their tax status. Often they have named specific conservative groups by name. The president himself has made some public speeches in which he's called these groups a threat to our democracy, he's literally called them. And so I think that, you know, there's strong evidence to believe that part of the reason the IRS proposed these rules and is acting in this way right now is because of partisan pressure put on them by Democratic office holders.
Do comment periods like this often change many minds?
They certainly can. In this case, the IRS has received over 100,000 comments. Today is actually the last day for submitting comments, which one can do at a site called regulations.gov at the IRS. And they can change minds. I mean, that's why the comment period is required by law. It's usually not so much a political popularity contest, but thoughtful comments pointing out some of the problems with the rules, I think, do change minds. The agency is required to address those, and if it doesn't explain why they ignored those comments, its decision could be overturned in court.
We'll certainly be watching. At the end of a comment period, which does end today, as you mentioned, how soon after that do we determine what the IRS is planning to do?
Well, that you can't be sure of. I mean, the IRS has to respond to the comments, but it could be a month, it could be 2 or 3 months, it could be more. Many people believe that the goal is to have these regulations in place before the elections. The White House has steadfastly opposed congressional efforts to say these regulations won't take place for at least a year till after the elections. Let us think about this more. The IRS commissioner has said, oh, he doesn't think they'll be able to get it done before November. So it's kind of up in the air, but certainly, again, a lot of people on the right think that the goal is to get these in place before the elections and chill speech. And that keeps taking me back to this point. This is why we don't want the IRS in it. We've got our revenue-producing system whose integrity is paramount if we're going to have an adequate tax collection system, and we're putting it in jeopardy trying to use it to regulate political activity.
Mr. Smith, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for helping us understand it much better.
Thank you, Greg.
Bradley Smith is chairman of the Center for Competitive Politics. He's the former chairman of the Federal Elections Commission. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.